Today is February 17th, 2016, and this is episode number 345 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot. Oh, I've used that one before, haven't I?
I think you have, but.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm the big bopper. I think I've used that one too. Darn it. I'm looking around. I'm power computing. Looking around my room there. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
You know, I was just going to let you slide with the itsy-meetsy teensy yellow polka dot bikini and say that you were just upcycling your titles.
Yeah, but that's a recycle. Sorry about that, folks. I know that everyone really cares about my fake titles.
Wait, they're fake?
Yes, believe it or not.
Do you realize how much money we've spent on business cards?
Oh, yeah. I've signed the checks.
Every week, I'm ordering new cards for you.
I know. Well, speaking of new cards...
I really do need to work on my totally non sequitur segues.
Yes, you do indeed. So speaking of new cards, Apple has like just landed in the middle, but they've been sort of in there. Anyway, there's some new stuff with Apple. Why don't you tell us what it is? You've been writing this up for us.
Okay. So what happened is First, the backstory. This goes back to December 2nd, 2015, and that's the day that there was the horribly tragic shooting in San Bernardino at the county health public health department's holiday party.
And in San Bernardino, California.
Yes, and 14 people were killed, 22 were seriously injured. And the perpetrators, they took off. The FBI eventually caught up with them. They were shot and killed in a shootout. And the FBI recovered the iPhone 5Cs that both the people were using. Now, one of those phones, they wanted to get at the information that was stored on it. Namely,
just the history, the data, though.
What?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So they wanted to look at content on this iPhone because they felt that there might be information on there that would lead them to other suspects in this case. So not people that were like on location shooting, but may have been involved in the planning and implementation of the terrorist attack.
Or even knowledge of.
Or have knowledge of. That's correct. The problem is this iPhone has a passcode on it, so they can't get at the content that's on the phone. And they asked Apple for help, and Apple said, you know, we'll help you however we can, within the appropriate limits of the law. However, we can't get access to the encrypted data on there because we don't have the ability to do that. So the FBI went to court and just this week got a court order that compels Apple to create a new version of iOS that they will use to hack into this phone. And this new version of iOS removes several, or at least a couple, of the security measures that are in place to keep someone or a government from using a brute force attack to figure out what your passcode is. And by brute force attack, what that means is just have a computer that tries passcode, and just keeps trying new ones until it finally hits yours. And then when that happens, the iPhone is unlocked, and then they would have access to everything on the phone. Except that there's a feature that these people may have enabled on their iPhone so that after 10 failed attempts, the iPhone will just wipe its data.
But and you get there's a delay too, right? You get one to four attempts. Fifth attempt is like a 5-minute delay, I think.
Right, and each delay after that, it goes up dramatically to where you get to that ninth attempt, and it's an hour.
Yeah. And so, then yeah. the 10th attempt, it would be wiped.
Correct. And so what this court order says is Apple is going to make a version of iOS that will be locked to this specific iPhone. And then it will allow the FBI to bypass the 10 login limit, and it will not have the delay between failed logins. So then this can just be hooked up to a computer that sits there and tries passcode after passcode. And assuming it's a 4-digit passcode, they would have access to the phone within a few hours.
And they'd be able to load this through by putting the phone into, what is it called, DFU mode, something like that?
Right. So it's the mode that a phone can be in to force a firmware update to happen.
Right. So in other words, they'd be sideloading this specialized version of iOS that doesn't have these protections.
Correct. And what they're saying is this will be limited to just this phone because it's going to have a special ID lock to the one device. So it's not like we'll be using it on other phones. And I think
they even proposed that the phone remain in Apple's, like this, that this take place under Apple's doing and control.
They didn't propose that, but they included that as an option.
It's an option. Okay. Well, that's kind of a proposal.
Sure. Yeah. They're mostly pedantic. Yes, I know. Well, their big thing is they'd like Apple to just give them the SIF file, I just forgot what SIF stands for. Anyhow, it's the software package that includes the operating system version that they can sideload.
Of course, that's what they want.
Of course. And Apple is saying, look, guys, we can't do this. And by can't, what they mean is shouldn't, because from a technical standpoint, there's no reason why Apple couldn't create this not secure or not as secure version of iOS that could be used on a device, but they feel they should not do this. And Apple feels that if they do, they are opening a Pandora's box where the security that we have on all of our devices now comes into question, not because this is the version of iOS that would be on all of our iPhones and iPads, but because this is now a tool that could be used on any of our iPhones or iPads. The government just needs to go back to Apple and say, okay, change the security string so that it's now tied to the ID of this other phone and do it again.
Or it could be perverted and twisted and you know that could be hacked.
Yes,
conceivably. So yes. May I quote from Tim Cook's open letter?
Oh, I would love if you did.
Specifically, the FBI wants us to make a new version of the iPhone operating system, circumventing several important security features, and install it on a phone recovered during the investigation. In the wrong hands, this software, which does not exist today, would have the potential to unlock any iPhone in someone's physical possession.
Right. Now, picture having this kind of power and putting it in the hands of people that may not understand just how big of a deal this is, or in the hands of government agencies that really do get how big of a deal this is.
Yeah. To further quote from Tim, the FBI may use different words to describe this tool, but make no mistake, building a version of iOS that bypasses security in this way would undeniably create a backdoor. And while the government may argue that its use would be limited to this case, there is no such guarantee, or excuse me, there is no way to guarantee such control. And of course, that's both for our government, which is never really been the issue here. I don't think anyone wants to not comply with government with legal warrants. The issue is always it being escalated. And the other issue, the more important issue, is that once it's in existence, it can be used by the bad guys who are not going to get warrants because they're the bad guys. It can be used by foreign governments that we consider repressive and non-democratic. Mm-hmm. It can be used oppressive, not repressive. Did I always do that
Well, some of them may be repressive. It would be kind of weird.
It can be used by the bad guys. It can be used by criminal organizations. It can be used by foreign intelligence services. It can be used by industrial hackers, industrial espionage hackers. It can be used by foreign governments who are looking to persecute or prosecute someone that we would consider to be a force for democracy and good, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This has always been the issue.
Right. Yeah. And so once this tool, this version of iOS is created, then it really opens the door for other governments outside the United States to then compel Apple to perform the same sort of unlocks or passcode bypassing on iPhones, or to compel Apple to hand over this version of iOS so they can use it themselves.
Yes. And while in this particular case, it's, you know, pretty clean cut, which is one reason why I think the FBI chose this case, right? It's the folks, the terrorists who did this attack in San Bernardino, California, they're bad people. They did a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cut and dry. But you never know how that's going to be perverted in the future.
Right. And this does make for a really easy case to push through a precedent like this. And this is totally unprecedented.
Yeah, and this is why this is happening. This is why this case was chosen. The FBI desperately wants this ability. The NSA wants this ability.
And it's a great way to bypass the whole legislative process of creating laws that force companies like Apple to create versions of their operating system that are distributed widely that have backdoors in place.
Yeah, you know, which is an interesting aspect of this. Now, generally speaking, when someone accuses the judicial branch of legislating from the bench, it usually simply means they disagree with the things that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that claim is a political tool. It's most often been a political tool of the right of late, who are upset when judges say that the things that the right wants are unconstitutional. But the left has used it too, because there are a mixture of conservative and liberal justices and judges throughout our judicial system. And whenever someone is unhappy with the results, it's real easy to accuse them of legislating from the bench. But the reality is that they're almost always doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
The judicial system is supposed to tell us when things are unconstitutional. It's what they do. It's what they were created to do.
Yeah, and keep in mind, there's a term called case law, and case law refers to laws that exist because of rulings in specific court actions. So whatever that ruling was is now deemed to just be essentially a law.
Yeah, what's the it becomes a precedent, and precedents have weight.
Yes. Yes. And so then future rulings can take into account these case laws.
Right.
And a perfect example for people that might be a little muddled on this. There's a case from California from many, many years ago that involved a man named Miranda. And he was arrested and he was questioned. And the statements that he made while in police custody were then used against him and were used as part of the case to actually get him on trial. And what came out of that ultimately was case law that said that if you are going to arrest someone and then question them while they're in custody, they need to be aware of their rights. And this is where reading someone their Miranda rights came from. That's case law.
Right. And if that happened, if that somehow had not happened until today, there would be people accusing that judge of legislating from the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my point about all that. I am not one to take issue with a judge doing their job, and I am intellectually in contempt of most such claims. In this case, I find it a little bit shocking that a judge would tell a company that they have to create an entire operating system for this kind of use.
Well, what that tells me is that we're dealing with people that really don't have an understanding of the technology involved.
Well, no, but Apple can do this.
They can do this, but that it is not a trivial task to go and create a forked version of iOS that removes these security features that we currently have.
The reality is that Apple or Google are so ginormous that while companies a tiny fraction of their size would find it burdensome, it's not really going to be burdensome to companies of that size.
Right.
I mean, it stinks that Apple actually has it for as a tiny Apple shareholder with an insignificant holding in the company. It stinks that the company is going to have to pay to do this.
Yes.
But it's not even something that would, you know, you would just never notice this on the bottom line.
Right. But that said, it doesn't mean that the task itself is a trivial thing.
It's a non-trivial task.
Yeah. And it's something that Apple can absorb easily, but it's still a non-trivial task.
And it's that a judge would order that to me is pretty interesting. And it wouldn't surprise me if on appeal, and Apple will no doubt appeal this.
Of course.
They haven't announced an appeal yet, right?
Well, Tim's open letter makes it clear that Apple's going to fight this.
Okay.
And yeah. So they have 5 days from when the order was issued, which was on Tuesday. So 5 business days. So that would be what? Monday? Wait. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
It was on Tuesday. Yeah, so it would be technically it'd be Saturday.
Except that's not a business day, so that puts it on to Monday.
Got it.
Yeah, so they have until Monday to reply, and it's a pretty safe bet that Apple's going to be fighting this tooth and nail.
Actually, no, it could be because this was like at the end of the business day. It could even be Tuesday, but whatever.
Right. Yeah. The point is, we still have at least a couple days left before Apple has to get the reply in.
Okay, so it wouldn't surprise me. Once Apple does appeal this, and it seems a safe bet that Apple will appeal this, it wouldn't surprise me if a higher court said that the lower court overreached.
Now, if that happens, it's a safe bet the FBI will then appeal that ruling.
Yes. This is going to the Supreme Court.
I think that's a very, very safe assumption. This is going to the Supreme Court.
And I think that it is likely to be fast-tracked to the Supreme Court. Could be, what do I know? But it wouldn't surprise me if this got fast-tracked, which is interesting one way or another, because right now the Supreme Court is standing at 8 people.
That's right, because Antonia Scalia very unexpectedly died last week.
Antonin.
What did I say?
Antonio.
Oh, that's right. Antonio, that's his brother that has a really nice personality and dances. I'm making this up.
Yes. Justice Scalia died this weekend, and we're going to have the mother of all political fights over his replacement.
Oh, boy. Howdy.
So I wonder, like, did you read? It's a good thing we researched the show, right?
Top men.
Let's see, Supreme Court.
All right. So while you look that up,
Apple, FBI.
I'll fill in people or I'll fill in our listeners on some more stuff related to this. Okay, so the Electronic Frontier Foundation and the American Civil Liberties Union have both issued statements condemning the court order and offering their support for Apple. The EFF has said that they are filing an amicus brief for the case. And for those of you that don't know what an amicus brief is, it translates to friend of the court. So it's an outside party that has information that they feel would be relevant to a ruling, and so then they offer this information essentially as advice to the court, and then the court can choose to take that advice to heart or not. And in this case, the EFF is going to file an amicus brief that says this court order is a really bad idea. And I agree, it is a bad idea. What I'm hoping is that we see other companies filing amicus briefs as well. And yes, those companies should be
all
like
the tech giants should be chiming in.
Yes. Google, Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, all of these companies, Samsung, they need to be filing amicus briefs on Apple's behalf. And just imagine with Amazon, everyone that has an Echo.
Yeah.
Having that just monitor what they're doing.
Oh, that's going to happen. I have no doubt that that's actually going to happen.
It's scary to think where this could go, because what we're dealing with right now is focused on Apple, but this is the precedent case. And assuming that the court order that we have today is upheld, then what it does is it creates the case law that says that it's okay for the FBI or other government agencies to compel companies to create these backdoors for them into our devices and our applications. It's really scary. Yes.
It is. By the way, so this is already becoming politicized. Tom Cotton, Arkansas senator, a Republican, arch conservative, has already said, this is a doozy here, Apple is choosing to, quote, protect a dead ISIS terrorist's privacy over the security of the American people, which is precisely backwards.
Oh, man.
Precisely backwards. And I believe that I know that Donald Trump has said that Apple should comply. I'm not sure if the other Republican presidential candidates have said. I don't know what the Democratic candidates have. Sanders, Apple, FBI. Let's see here.
Something about a bucket of chicken. Wrong Sanders.
Wrong Sanders. Do we have? Yeah, I'm not going to find this really quickly. I don't know. I don't know what the other. I honestly would assume that most of the right wing politicians are going to come out in favor of this, which is really bizarre because they should actually theoretically be against government intrusion and government intrusion into our privacy.
You know, right now things are really weird in this country. It's like up is down and left is right and red is green. And it's just, we live in interesting times, Brian.
We do in fact live in interesting times, and here Apple is right in the middle of it. You know, it's the intersection of technology and politics. It's the bigger Apple has gotten, the more Apple has become entwined in politics. And, this is just a reality. This is how this works. It's always been the case. The bigger the company, the more entwined in politics it is, the more subject it is to regulation, the more subject it is to being involved. I'm not saying this right. A lot big companies traditionally have a track record of heavy lobbying to get favorable legislation and or regulations. Silicon Valley is way behind that compared to other industries, I think. And that probably needs to change.
Probably.
Yeah, as much annoying as it is, I really hate the influence of lobbying in U.S. Politics. It stinks that money gets a disproportionate say.
It is unfortunate. It's a double-edged sword, but right now that sword is weighted far more to one edge than the other. The good edge, the smaller edge right now, is the edge where lobbyists are pushing for what is best for our country's citizens. And in this case, I'm expecting Apple's lobbyists to be doing things that that ultimately are good for us as consumers. But I mean, the reality is, of course, it's good for Apple.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I do not doubt that the forces within the FBI who have been pursuing this course believe that they are doing the right thing. Most people believe they're doing the right thing in any given moment.
I think that's very likely. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a small faction that's working with other government agencies, and they're like, you know, this whole thing where we're trying to get back doors, here's an easy way for us to make it happen.
but that's not the way they're thinking about it. That's not the way they're thinking about it. Are you saying that they are thinking about it that way?
It wouldn't surprise me if there's a small faction that is.
I doubt that.
The way they have presented this makes it look like it really is just this one-off thing, and we want to make sure that we're protecting everyone's safety and their privacy. But I mean, the reality is this is the framework. And once you've compelled Apple to do this, then it's at risk of going a little hyperbolic. It's open season. And there are people that understand exactly what could happen, and they would love to see this stand, because it opens the door to compel Apple and other companies to give access to the government our encrypted personal data.
Right. Trump said on Fox and Friends, to think that Apple won't allow us to get into her cell phone, who do they think they are? Of course, this is the same fellow who said that he was going to call on Bill Gates so they could, you know, shut down those parts of the internet.
And stuff.
Let's see. Is Mr. Cruz said anything yet?
Yeah. What did he say about Ted Cruz? Something about his cat, right?
Wasn't going to go there.
Yeah, I'm done going there.
It's going to be interesting, and this is going to be a political fight, and that this is coming at a time when the battle over the Supreme Court is going to be so important. This could come up in front of a theoretically divided Supreme Court. I would assume that we would have the four so-called liberal judges, justices, against us, and mm-hmm. the three so-called conservative justices for it,
mm-hmm.
with Stephen Breyer once again being the swing vote. Wait, Mr. Breyer or Mr. Kennedy?
Oh, I thought it was Kennedy.
Is it Stephen? Yeah, I think it is Justice Kennedy.
So
did Breyer pass away? Justice Breyer. I should know these things.
Yes, we should both know these things. Well, while you look that up, the political tempest we're in right now, we're in a presidential election campaign year.
Oh, no, Breyer's on the left. It's Kennedy. Kennedy could be the swing vote to make it a tie.
Right. And if it is a tie, what that means is the lower court ruling stands.
Yeah.
Now, what you don't have when you get a tie and the lower court ruling stands,
not the lower court, the lowest court below them that heard it. So if an appeals court hears it.
That's what I mean.
it would be the appeals court ruling that would stand.
Yes. So the court lower than the Supreme Court that heard it.
Right.
And so if that ruling stands on a tied vote in the Supreme Court, we do not have a precedent. And what the FBI would love in a case like this is to have precedent from the Supreme Court.
Okay. Well, let me get back to my point. There is no doubt that the people who are pursuing this think that they're doing the right thing. Everybody's the hero of their own story. Mm-hmm. Most people pursuing in a particular course think that it's the right thing to do. Right? They may have various justifications. They could know that it's wrong, but there's still a reason why it's appropriate for them to do it. People right. are the hero the of their
own. The means justify
story.
The end.
Exactly. And there's so much truthiness involved in this case. Of course we want to get at this lady's phone. She's a terrorist. We could end up finding out who she was answering to, if she was answering to someone, mm-hmm. or reporting to someone, or if there was a larger cell that she was involved. There's so much information that can be found here. It, of course, we want to get to that, and getting to that is important.
Yes,
but that's truthiness, because it's only part of the story. It is the ramifications on how we get to it that could put all of us in more danger from the much larger world of bad folk out there.
Yes. And is this one case worth the privacy and device security of every smartphone user on the planet? Because even though that sounds a little hyperbolic, that's exactly what we're looking at here.
And I am most concerned with the privacy and security of those of us here in the States, because simply because we have no control over what, you know, China or Russia or, you know, the folks in charge in what used to be Burma.
Burma.
What's Burma's new name?
Sorry, the funny thing is, I just totally went to Monty Python, and now Burma is just stuck in my head.
Myanmar, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever the case. Not to mention, what future iterations or generations of our own government could do with this. I mean, don't forget that. The government was just busted for doing mass surveillance of we the people.
That's very true. And you know, even if you trust the government today, that doesn't mean that the government of 2 years from now, 5 years from now, whatever, is going to have the same philosophy as the government you trust today.
That's right. It was under Nixon going back 40 years ago. It was under Nixon that the FBI was spying on Nixon's opponents for him.
Yeah, that was kind of a bad mess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and then who knows all the things that have happened that we don't know about. So the precedent here is super important, and I'm glad that Apple is fighting it. I imagine this is going to have some business implications, because there are going to be people who are going to want to spin this as Apple's trying to protect the terrorists.
Of course. And yes, we're already seeing that.
And we're already seeing that.
Yeah.
Super annoying.
It is. And I'm glad that Apple is not just rolling over on this. I'm glad that the ACLU and the EFF have already come out as strong opponents to the ruling, and I hope that we see other tech companies step up and denounce the ruling as well.
Yes, that would be a good thing. You know what else is a good thing?
Tell me, what else is a good thing?
Garo Martin wrote in to show me where the movie Drive was that we talked about last week.
Oh, that's awesome.
This is the Mark Dacascos film that I love from the mid-90s. And you can't, it's just not anywhere. I mean, didn't do well. I think I first saw it on cable in the first place, but it didn't do well. You can't find anywhere. I bought it on DVD some time ago, but it's out of sync. Like the audio and the video is out of sync by about, a quarter second.
Oh, that really sucks.
It drives me.
Does it drive you?
Bananas. It drives me bananas. I love this film. I love this film. Anyway, he sent it to me. Thank you so much for sending me the link to it. It's on YouTube if you want to watch it. I generally speaking am very against piracy, but this movie isn't available anywhere. It still is piracy.
Yeah, but
for it to be on YouTube is piracy.
But it also shows a big problem we have with the entertainment industry, which is we would love to give them money, and they make it so hard to do so.
Oh yeah, I'd totally buy this. I'd totally buy this film. If I could buy this from iTunes, I'd buy it.
Yeah,
it's a martial arts film that's with Mark Dacascos has a bionic heart, the bio engine.
Oh, that's awesome. when he gets excited, his chest goes doo 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 doo.
Not that. Yeah, it gives him superpower. It like makes him, he's able to he just has more energy and he's stronger.
Great fun at parties.
Yes. And then antics ensue.
Of course.
Right. So how do you spell Mark Dacascos?
You know, the problem that you had with Drive,
uh-huh.
I've had with Dogma. My DVD disappeared somewhere.
That's really surprising because that movie has actually been quite...
it's been really successful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not available on any streaming service for rent or purchase, at least none that I have found. And when I went to Amazon, you can find people or companies that are selling old copies that they've held on to for a lot of money. And yeah, it's just really weird.
Yeah, it is really weird.
Yeah,
but I can't get it on iTunes. But Garo found it for me on YouTube, and I was delighted. It's fun to watch it again.
That's awesome.
It's a fun movie.
I'm so glad you have that.
So am I. I'm delighted. Now we also got, let's see, we got some other mail here. Gotta find it here. Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
I haven't been following Apple for more than a couple of years, but is the quote unquote puritanical attitude you're ascribing to Apple found outside the App Store? Is this actually, is that a TDO note?
I believe it is, but let's go with it anyhow.
It starts blending together for me sometimes because we do end up doing some cross topics.
Well, and we end up on shows so often throughout the week that they blend together. I just really love hanging out with you and talking.
Likewise. But Brittany, companies are often cautious about offending users, and I'm sure Apple is no different. There are standard rating systems in place to tell or less adventurous audiences what they're getting into with the content of TV, movies, console video games, and music. Apps and the App Store are not set up to give those users this information, although actually, quite frankly, they could be. But anyway, back to what she said. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's Apple's fault. Okay. Fair enough. But it's at the bottom of my personal list of App Store complaints. I'm not excusing Apple. I'm just saying that it's not okay to compare a media with an established regional rating system to one that doesn't have a rating system. All right. So her point is
I believe, is that we've been unfairly critical to Apple over the way that... over their puritanical or prudish approach to blocking certain apps, and now we're applying that to a TV show they're going to make.
Well, and to me, it was more like the attitude behind it. Like, Steve Jobs saying, if you want porn, go elsewhere. You can go somewhere else.
Okay.
Right. And now I don't know that Steve was I don't know one way or another whether or not Steve was approved, but he was pretty consistent on this particular aspect of the App Store. He didn't want porn on the App Store. You know, basically you can get porn all over the internet. You know, if you want to go there and get it. And to me, which is fine, it's their App Store, they can do what they want. It's just fascinating that Apple's first foray into scripted television would dive into what is essentially porn, probably softcore.
I would assume so.
But, you know, an extended orgy scene, I think, is how it was described. Of course, we don't know that that's actually the case. That's only a report from the Hollywood Reporter.
True.
Could be an error. But, I absolutely see Brittany's point. I just still find it interesting. I find it to be a bit of a contradiction that Apple could be so anti-porn on the App Store, yet its first foray into scripted shows is diving straight into porn.
Yeah, it does seem kind of funny. Yeah.
Thanks for the note.
Yeah.
Thanks for the note. And then thanks for the note, too, from Garrow. I'm assuming that's how to pronounce his name. He's in Germany. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Well, I think we should just stick with Garrow for now so that if we are mispronouncing it, we don't continue to butcher his name by trying alternate pronunciations.
Additional mispronunciations. I like that. So if you want to write into us, you can write into us at acm@macobserver.com, or you can hit us on Twitter at Context Machine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a name that these two funky white boys from the United States might have difficulty in pronouncing, feel free to tell us.
Unless you derive great pleasure from hearing us butcher your name, in which case don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If we entertain you by our bad pronunciation, please go ahead and.
Yes. And hey, you know, I love that our listeners are commenting.
Yes.
I think it's great. I love getting the feedback. I love getting the perspective that our listeners bring to the show. And I love that instead of it being just the two of us going back and forth on topics, that our listeners get to be involved in that too.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 All right. Well, so now let's go ahead and jump into another completely controversial free topic, because I'm sure someone managed to be offended by our discussion of Apple's battle with the FBI.
Someone probably has. And so if we're going on to an equally controversial topic, I'm assuming that is on toilet paper rolls, over the top or down from behind? Right?
Over the top.
Over the top. Oh, yes. It's not controversial.
Yeah, it goes all the way back to a mod for me.
I love that you went there.
She had a joke about with the British character. I don't forget who that was, but like he said something. I can't remember the setup, but her response was, "Well, I can tell you that here in America we go over the top." She didn't use those words, but whatever.
That's all right. The fact that you went all the way back to Maud.
Yes. If you don't know what Maud was, ask your parents.
Yeah.
They probably either loved Maud or hated Maud.
Yeah. Well, and it depends on how young you are. You may have to ask your grandparents.
That's true. You may actually have to ask your grandparents. That is
but
true.
If you really want to impress them. No, we're not going there yet. I'm giving people a little bit of info they can use to like really impress people. When they bring it up and someone tells you all they know about Maud, then you can come back and say, "Yeah, I thought it was a really powerful spinoff from All in the Family," and they'll be like, "Huh?
Fair enough." So many spinoffs from All in the Family. Kanye West,
not a spinoff from All in the Family.
No, he. No, that's not where we're going. We're going to Soto Soma.
Yeah,
that's where right. Kanye West did some stuff. He had a Twitter meltdown. We talked about it on TDO.
Yeah, we did. I wrote an analysis piece that, or actually, I wrote an editorial that I like. Go read it.
Right.
So, do. So,
pa.
Pa.
John Keith, the devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Good friend of mine, good friend to what has been contributing to the Mac Observer for a long time.
He's a great guy.
He had an observation that all the Kickstarter like videos that were being made were all the same. And he called it the soda sopaization of Silicon Valley.
That is a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. And the whole point of it is this. He's saying that all the videos are the same. They're all using the same cheesy royalty-free music. They're all trying to sound inspirational. They're all trying to, save the world and be magical. He didn't say magical, but, be magical. They're all using, the same sort of angles and shots that Apple has used, mm-hmm. Developed and used to such great effect, or maybe Apple borrowed them from other industries. Who knows? And that they just all become the same. You know, like a lot of times they'll have the same fake Brit, and they'll have a bad British accent narrating to, lend it
against a white background.
A lot of white backgrounds and stuff, although those aren't actually all that particularly consistent. And one of the examples he uses, I actually was part of the conversation that brought this out, is there's a series of, as John put it, hit horror compilations on YouTube called Seven Things You Didn't Know Existed. And it's like, it's at least through number one through number 29 that I know of. And there's probably more. And all they are is grabbing significant sections of these Kickstarter videos and putting them into a compilation. And some of them are really cool products.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch them, they all feel the same. They really do feel the same. That's his point.
Well, okay, so I'm going to interrupt you for just a moment.
Yeah.
So the whole Soto Sopa thing, what exactly is that? He asks, setting Brian up.
Thank you. So that was a South Park bit where South Park had noticed that all of the urban redevelopment projects all had these bad names, the same flow, the same music, the same tempo, the same pacing, the same shots of people having rich people having fun, and the same sort of message, and they all had these ridiculous names. The one that they made up to represent this was Soto Sopa, which stands for South of Downtown South Park. And so South Park's whole thing was just to simply point out that all of these gentrification redevelopment projects were cookie cutter, and mm-hmm. John was latching onto that.
Okay, and so then he compared that to what he sees as the cookie cutter promo videos for products on Kickstarter.
Yes, but I have a different take.
Okay.
And my different take is this. He's saying that to a certain extent they're copying a lot of Apple's stuff here, and they are. But my take is more along the lines of Apple has provided this blueprint on how to do stuff right, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll save the conversation that Apple has been letting slip. Things slip through the crash for other episodes because we've already talked about it.
Slip through the crash?
Cracks.
Yeah, cracks. I called you out on that only because...
Did I say crash?
You totally said crash.
Interesting. And the fascinating thing to me is not that Kickstarter funding videos have copied some of these elements and look kind of cookie cutter. The fascinating thing to me is that more people haven't successfully copied Apple. and they don't that they don't try more, or that they're unsuccessful in doing so, or whatever. I don't understand why Apple is still the only company doing things the way that Apple does.
I have a hypothesis.
All right.
My hypothesis is that when other companies see what Apple is doing and they want to mimic that, they are mimicking the wrong part of what Apple is doing. They are mimicking the look, the aesthetic, the physical aesthetic of, say, an iPhone. But they're not getting the part that they should mimic, which is the process that goes into creating a device that can be market-changing.
But, and there are enough people out there who used to work at Apple and who have gone on to do their own companies that it's just fascinating to me that none of them seem to be able to do this.
Well, I am going to disagree with you. And I'm going to offer up Nest as an example of a company that did that. Former Apple employees, and they created a smart thermostat. And with that smart thermostat, they changed a market. And now we have many smart thermostats.
Yeah, that's true. You make a good point. And to that extent, to that effect, Tony Fadell, who was the founding head honcho, but it wasn't just him. It was him and several other people from Apple as well who did Nest. Tony Fadell is the standout exception to former Apple executives going on to success.
Yes, I will give you that. Yes. And that said, I have an Echo Bee, not a Nest.
I have zero desire to let Google any further into my life, aside from Google Fiber, which I'm still hoping comes to my area.
I'm holding out for Google Fiber. I totally get it.
But yeah, I don't want a Nest in my life. I did until Google bought Nest.
You know, I did until Echo Bee came along. And for me, I'm saying this not as someone that's like sponsoring or, you know, promoting them, just as someone that bought a thermostat and really likes it. I just like the way the approach that they take to the smart thermostat better. But then again, I don't live in coastal California, and I think that's what the Nest is really designed for.
Well, that's been Dave Hamilton's argument.
Yeah,
he's very critical of the Nest in general, but yeah. The Nest Protect, I think, is something that we can all universally love and embrace.
Absolutely.
That I don't want Google in my life that way. I really don't. I don't want Google in my life that way.
Nest Protect is a really, really cool idea.
It is, and you know, hopefully, we will have some additional as someone who's battled connected. Fire alarms or fire alarms that listen to each other and start yakking away. I would love to see the Nest Protect become a model for more people. Nonetheless, if anything, Tony Fadell is sort of the proof in my pudding here, because he's the only one who has found great success after having left Apple. And it's, I get where John Key was coming from. He's going to be mad at me, by the way, that we just didn't have him on to talk about this.
I'm sure he will be.
I get where he's coming from. I just, like, I want to see more people successfully and properly copying Apple, because I want more good products in my life, and I want things to make sense.
Yeah, I agree. And I've been sitting here trying to think of other former Apple employees that have gone on to high visibility success.
Yeah, I think we can probably find lots of little startups that have been bought. Right. They've left Apple. They've started a new app company, and then that app company was bought sometimes by Apple, but sometimes by Google or Facebook or Twitter or whomever. But by and large, none of them are actually like going on to great success and actually, you know, be releasing a product that becomes a gangbuster hit.
You know, I just realized another person that left Apple went on to really big success.
Who's that?
Steve Jobs. I'm not thinking about Next. I'm thinking about Pixar.
Okay. I don't think he counts in this particular discussion, but okay.
Well, it's just kind of fun to toss that one out.
Okay.
It's all right. 'Cause when I said that, there were a handful of listeners that were like, yeah, Jeff, yeah. And everyone else was like, really?
Yeah.
You went there?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think we need to go out on that low note.
All right. Well, I can totally make that happen.
All right.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine, for whatever that's worth. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people of the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. So do so pa.